My name is Remy, and I worship at Barking. Many people call me pastor, I am not. I'm just a brother by the grace of God. I met Jesus when I was not looking for him at all. I was born into a Muslim family, and I was at university, and I just finished university during my life. And by the time I left university, I was becoming disillusioned. Just as many around the world are now about Islam. There are so many questions that Islam will provide answers to. And I become quite very critical, analytical, and independent. And I was searching for the truth. And I couldn't just find that truth in the Quran or Islam. I never actually tried to find the truth in Christianity. For whatever reason, I didn't know why. I was looking for the truth in other religions. I was almost becoming an atheist. I was getting fascinated with atheistic ideas. Because I saw them as quite very intelligent, quite very analytical. Until one day, somebody gave me a copy of his small Bible, Gideon Bible. And out of respect, I just collected it. I never intended at all. I wasn't interested in knowing about Christ at all. Not the least interested. But one night, my eyes went to this small Bible. And I just picked it up out of curiosity. Let me even read what's inside. I was actually looking for a book to read. I didn't, but I already read them. So it was the only one that was just available. So okay, let me just pick this and read it. And I started to read the story of Jesus. And I couldn't put it up. I was reading the story of Jesus until the night. I couldn't just stop reading. I was so fascinated with the story of Jesus. In my heart, I never knew about the Holy Spirit at all. In my heart, even though I didn't know about Christ before, I didn't read the Bible before, that was the first time. In my heart, I knew it was the truth. Without anybody telling me at all, I knew this is the truth. And I told myself, I think I need to know more about this. Where do I go to the church? And I invited myself to the church. I looked for one around me, and I just sat. Listening to them. I had some Christian friends then, we're going to talk about that. They never actually shared the gospel with me, so to say, no, we are friends. And I went to meet them. I read about Christ in the Bible. Have questions. Can we discuss this? And they were not interested. They said, Remy, you are too argumentative. You are so analytical. You're a philosopher. We can't win an argument, you know, against people that love to argue then. And they didn't disclose me at all. So I searched for that one. But God led me to celebrate, open my eyes to it. Another section about the year of God, I just gave my life to him. And his grace has been sufficient. So a product of God's grace has been here. And today is my joy, my pleasure to speak of the wonders of God's grace. God's grace invites us to wonder. Grace invites us to marvel. Grace invites us to be amazed. The grace of God is so wonderful. Try to describe the grace of God. I don't think we can describe the grace of God. I don't think we can define it. I don't think so. Some things are better experienced than described. And that's what Paul is doing in our text. I'm going to use this thing. Paul is not describing or, you know, defining what grace of God is. Paul is simply sharing his experience of God's grace. That I don't understand what it is, but I know what it is by experience. And that's what Paul is telling us. So we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read it from verse 1. But before I go into that, you know, at the very beginning of 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul writes to the church, and I believe he's speaking to us at Ashdod this evening. If you read through, I'll just clear it before we go to the main text. In chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. And so things, our brother, to the church of God which is as current.
Maybe to the church that's going to ask you.
To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And he says to them, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. I want to thank God for every one of us because of the grace of God he has given us. Everyone seated this evening, we have a measure of the grace of God. It was grace that saved us. It is grace that is helping us in our daily walk. It is grace that will see us to the very end. We are products, beneficiaries of the grace of God. And I think each moment we remember, we marvel at God's grace. God's grace is wonderful. It is amazing. It is indescribable. So let's do our main text. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 1. So before this, you know, Paul has said so many things because there was kind of division in the church. They had a wrong understanding of what grace of God is, wrong understanding of what love is. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love? So he just said so many things to them. But in chapter 15, he now says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. And that gospel is the gospel of grace of Christ, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. But some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of the utah. Verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundant than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Lord, just ask this evening. Sometimes the word that we preach, the word that we hear, is like that dry bones in Ezekiel chapter 7, 37. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon dry bones, he comes alive. And I pray, Lord, this evening that your Spirit will come upon the world that will hear this thing. And may you give life to the world in Jesus' name. So Paul is sharing his experience of God's grace. And he's saying, I am the least of the apostles. I never deserved to be saved because I persecuted the church. I deserve death. I deserve to be condemned. I deserve to be destroyed, but for the grace of God. And he said, I am what I am by God's grace. And he said, what I do by the grace of God. Paul is amazed at God's grace that saved him. That how can I, who persecuted the church, be saved by Christ? Not just that. He said, I saw Jesus. He appeared to me. Even me, Paul. So Paul is sharing his experience, his story of God's grace. And I believe many of us, if not all of us, we have our own story of grace to share. Grace of how God saved us, how he rescued us, how he delivered us, how he sustained us, how he healed us, how he made a way for us, how he strengthened us in times of trouble.
How he revealed himself to us. How he helped us in our daily walk. How he made a way for us when there seemed to be no way at all. We have stories of grace to share. And Paul is sharing his own story of grace. And he's marveling at the grace of God. Grace is wonderful. Grace is wonderful. So this time, I'm going to try to divide into three, and I'm sharing 9 things with also many. Hopefully we'll get through. So the first section is just to share with us, you know, how wonderful God's grace is, by just giving us some examples. And the second part is to share with us the demands of grace on us. Grace is not just wonderful, grace places demands on us. I don't be speaking about that. Like I said, every one of us, we have the grace of God. But demands are placed on us. Like somebody said, grace is not just pardon. Grace is also power. And grace enables us to do things. That's what grace does. And the last part will be the warnings of grace. And that's quite strange when I was preparing, you know, the sermon. Because grace warns us. As wonderful, as gentle, as grace is, it gives warning to us as believers. And that's what we are going to be doing, you know, this evening. So maybe we can attempt maybe some definition of grace. What is grace after all? Even though I say you can't explain it, you can't describe it. Some have said grace is unmerited favor. We must have had that. Grace is undeserved favor. That we don't deserve it, but God gives us grace all the same. You know, some try to distinguish between mercy and grace. I believe the grace of God is even higher in a way than his mercies. As wonderful as mercy is, grace is probably much more wonderful. Because mercy will not give you what you deserve. We deserve death. But mercy says, okay, I pardon. But grace, after pardon, grace gives you what you don't even deserve at all. You know the story of the prodigal son. You know that story? When the father saw the son, of course, he has mercy on him. And that's why he welcomed him back. Well, that is mercy. But he goes further. Oh, let us kill in a fatted cow. Let us celebrate. That is grace. I'm not just pardoning you. I'm even celebrating you. And that's why grace of God is so wonderful. You can't just describe it. How could God have saved me when I was not even looking to become a Christian? I was on the road to becoming an atheist. I was fascinated by them. I was reading their books. I was following them. How could God have saved me? How could God have picked me from a Muslim family? And just through his grace saved me and revealed himself to me. So grace is wonderful. Grace is so marvelous. There's nothing we can do without the grace of God. When Christ says in the book of John, without me you can do nothing. He's simply saying, without my grace you can do nothing. That's what he's saying. And when Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's saying I can do all things through the grace of God. Through the grace of Christ. There's nothing we can do without the grace of God. So brothers and sisters, let's marvel at God's grace. At God's grace. Let us be amazed at the grace of God. I used to say, if you don't have anything to pray for at all, and I find myself in that situation sometimes, Lord, I just need your grace. Will you just need your grace? I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to say to you. But I know I need your I need your mercy. I need your God. Because grace, love, and mercy, they work together. For God so loved the world I gave his only begotten Son through his mercy and by his grace we are saved. Love, mercy, and grace, they work together. And we all need that in our daily work. Daily we need the grace and mercy, you know, of God. So let's go further. Now, I suppose I'm trying to be mindful of this high. Sometimes we just get carried away. But then I've come to discover that even, you know, the word of the Lord, it is not the volume or the amount of the word of God that you hear that really matters. It's God's spirit upon his word. Sometimes it can just be a single verse. It can be a single statement. That can transform your life forever. So it's not the amount of the word. We will not go through all this. It doesn't really matter. But I believe that God will speak to us this day. Okay, so let's embark on this journey of God's grace. And the Lord will help us this evening. In Jesus' name. So, grace, yes, it's a merited favor, but I like to describe it this way. You know, like a machine that is rusty. Or let me give you an example of a door. You know, a door that's becoming too hard to close. Maybe because of the hinges are rusty. You know, they've been closed for a long time. And after many years, you try to open the door and it doesn't open. If you put just a small oil on the hinges of the door to lubricate it, what does it do? It opens gently. And the noise will disappear. And I believe that was what the Lord gave me to illustrate grace. That grace is like that. It comes above that rust. It lubricates it. And it makes it easier for the door to open and close. And that is the grace. The grace is external to that door. It comes upon it and it's something. And that's why grace empowers, grace enables. Grace makes you do what you can't do ordinarily. That is the grace of God. It is outside of you. It is from God himself. And that is God's grace. But even much more than that, grace is Christ. Because what the Bible says is that the law came through Moses. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Christ is the grace of God. When we share the grace, what do we say? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Grace is for Christ. And why? Because grace cost Christ his life. Grace is not cheap. Grace cost Jesus his life on the cross. That is the grace of God. When the Bible says, for by grace we are saved, it's saying by the grace of Christ, on the cross we are saved. And that's what we marvel at grace of God. That the grace that came through Christ Jesus, by his atonement, by going on the cross, he paid the price so that we can have So grace is Jesus Christ. When God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. We'll get to that maybe later. Paul says, because the grace of Christ, the power of Christ. Now when it comes, then when I am weak, I am strong. True Christ. So grace is Jesus Christ. So next time I will say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that grace came through the death of Christ on the cross. The cost of his life. That we may have the grace of God. So that's the grace of God in the of believer. So let's marvel. Let's be amazed at the grace of God. So we can see the evidence of grace right from the very beginning. I just want to say that because for us to know that the grace of God has always been there. God has always been gracious. And that's one thing I came across when I was reading the Bible, I was reading the story of Jesus. And I was reading Genesis and other books. So you can't compare this to the Quran. You can't compare this to any religious book. Because the God of the Bible is merciful and gracious to sinners. And you can see in the book of Genesis, when Adam fell and Eve, and they made attempt to cover themselves with fig leaves, They couldn't do that.
They were never covered. What did God do?
He says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Grace covered their nakedness. Even though they had sinned, even though God wanted to separate them from himself, but grace came in.
And he had to kill an animal to make tunics.
And it's an example of Christ shedding his life for us to cover our sins, to cover our shame. That through his blood, our sins are covered. So grace has always been there. Grace. God has always been gracious.
No wonder the Bible says,
Christ, the Lamb of God, our slave from the foundation of the world. That as sin came into the world, God in his infinite mercy and amazing grace will make provision for us
so that we can be saved. Is grace not wonderful? Is grace not amazing?
And that's the God of the Bible. That's the God that I met when I was searching. And I see this God is different from any other gods. This is the only true God, as Jesus says in John chapter 17, that they may know him, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, who we have said. There's no other true God. No other God can do that. They can't. They can't make such provision. Except this God. So right from Genesis, God showed his grace.
And again, moreover, we need grace in our daily walk. Like I said, you know, we walk daily through the grace of God.
How does God want us to walk?
In the scripture, it says that we may walk as Christ walked. And this world is full of temptations. You know, look right and left and center. Everywhere you go, you know, believers are confronted by temptations, by things that will challenge our faith. The world wants us to live the way it lives. And I would say, we are in this world, we are not of this world. How do we walk in this world without the grace of God? How do we survive at all without God's grace? Because we don't have any power of our own at all. We cannot do it without the grace of God. We can't at all. So we need the grace of God in our daily walk. We need the grace of God in our daily walk. We can't do it without, you know, but before we go to that, I think I skipped one. Let's look at grace in salvation. I think I've discussed that already. I'm just trying to follow this slide. But the scripture I want us to read concerning our salvation in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and you and me, it says, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. There's grace in salvation. And it says, for me and you, we are dead, as good as dead in our sins. Condemned, without hope at all, on the way to hell. But in verse 4, and I was sharing that this was like, you know, that sometimes when I come across boats, oh, my heart rejoices. There are some wonderful boats in the Bible. Some wonderful balls. You will see in a distressing story, and suddenly you come across balls. And I see one ball here in verse 4, and it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Remember, everything is in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith and not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's saying we are dead in trespass. There was no hope at all. But God, who is rich in mercy, through his grace, saved us.
How could I be saved without the grace of God? It's not possible at all.
It is not possible.
So we need grace in salvation, and we need grace to walk daily. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." And that is very challenging. The Bible is saying, as Christ walked, you walk. You know, sometimes we say, "Ah, man, his shoe is too big for me to put my leg in."
But the word God is saying, as Christ walked, you can walk like that too. Not through your power, but through his grace and spirit.
That you can be a representative of him. You can be his ambassador. You can imitate him. For Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You can be an imitation of Jesus Christ. You can be the fragrance and aroma of Christ, that Christ will be seen in you. You can walk as he walked. You can walk as he walked. Through the grace of God, you can walk. And why can we do that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, he gives us the assurance, the tool that we need. And he says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Because God is the God of all grace. He's saying, God will give you all the grace you need to walk as Christ walked. It is possible. God will not tell us to do something that's impossible. You say, by my grace you cannot. Because God is able to give you all grace. He said, that you, always having sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Say, you can have the grace for every good work you want to work. Through Christ. And that is the life of a believer. We don't need to limit ourselves. Not at all. We don't need to shortchange ourselves. We can walk as Christ walked. Many walk that road. And I'm going to pick one from this display. I'm going to speak on that later. They walk as Christ walked. They even paid the price with their life. Because they wanted to walk the road. How we can do that. So as wonderful as grace is, grace places demands on us. And we wonder, how can grace place demand on us? Grace is not just pardon, grace is power. Grace is given to us not to just do nothing, nothing with it, but to do something. The first demand is placed on us. Grace demands us to use it profitably. You know, God gives us grace, not for us to hold on to it. Yet it helps us to walk daily. It helps us in our walk within. But again, he wants us to use the grace he has given to us profitably for his glory. It's not just wonderful when it was the worship team, and I can see, you know, our sister playing on the drum, I start playing the instrument here, and I sing in here. Use the grace that the Lord has given to them profitably for his glory. So he wants us to use the grace that's given to us profitably. In Luke chapter 12, verse 46, it says, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with fear. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. To him that much grace is given, much grace is required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Grace is not meant for us to keep to ourselves. Grace is meant for us to be used. When I was looking around, my eyes went on. And this happened during the turbulent times, is it not?
Are we not living in turbulent times? Yeah. Yeah. Are we not? Mm-hmm. Is the church not under spiritual attack? There's religion all over. And there's no truth in this religion. And we carry and know the truth. Are we not supposed to share the truth even at the cost of our lives?
This matters. Protesters killed. This matters. They knew they had the grace of God. And they refused to keep the grace of God to themselves. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of grace. And say, are we who will share this grace of Christ to the world at the cost of our lives? If you are a kid, so be it. Because grace cost Christ his life. Like I said earlier. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ cost him his life. And you're saying, we can't keep this to ourselves. If you're going to be killed, so be it. Let them tie us to the stake. Let them put the fire. We rejoice because we don't owe this grace to ourselves. Brothers and sisters, what are we doing with the grace of God? What are we doing? In Ashdod, all around us, there are souls that need Christ perish. Without knowing the truth at all. Are we holding on to the truth? Are we holding on to the grace of God? In our neighborhood, there are people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we sharing the grace of Christ with them? Grace places demands on us. Grace was not just given to us to hold on to it. Yet it shapes our lives, it helps us to live daily. But yet, we're supposed to use that grace profitably to the glory and praise of God. And number two, grace demands us to live holy and Christ-like. Why is grace given? So that we can be like Christ. So that we can walk as he walked. So that we can live holy and righteous in this world. I believe in my heart. I'm sure you agree with me. There is no sin, there's no temptation that you cannot overcome by the grace of God. None at all. Have not come across any. If you come across, share with me after the sermon. Let's talk about it. If grace is Christ, who has conquered all, there's nothing that we cannot overcome by the grace of Christ. Not one at all. Have not come across any. None at all. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, one of my favorite verses. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, certainly not. King James Version said, God forbid. God forbid that we should continue in sin that grace may abound. I said, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And he's saying, we are dead to sin already. We can't live any longer in it. We cannot. We cannot. Because we are no longer under the law. We are under the grace that came through Jesus Christ. Because he has empowered us. He has enabled us to live holy and righteous in this present world. He has redeemed us from every lawlessness. I don't have time to read the scripture. Because of time. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 15, we can read that later. And it talks about how Christ redeemed us, you know, from the law, from sin. He has delivered us from it already, completely delivered us. In fact, Romans says we are buried with Christ in Christ. So as he rose again, we can rise into, we can live a new life. I say we are dead. Those things are dead. Dead means that they don't have power over us. That's what dead means. They no longer have power over us. And that's why he says in verse 14, if you read it, say, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. And he says, it can't dominate your life. Now, temptation will come, okay, it's possible, but it cannot dominate your life. You cannot be a slave to it. That is God already. That can never happen. So grace demands of us to live holy and righteous. And the third demand, grace demands us to be gracious to others. To be gracious to others. As believers, it should not be a struggle for us to show people grace. In fact, sometimes what I call extra grace. Some people, you needed an extra grace to deal with it. Not just ordinary grace. And I mean what I say. I mean extra grace. There are colleagues at workplace that you need extra grace. There are neighbors. Permit me to say, if you allow me, you pray for me to be bold. I'll be bold. There are people in the church that you need extra grace to deal with. Extra grace.
But because we are products, beneficiary of God's grace, we're supposed to show that extra grace to others too. If we have truly met Christ, if we are truly amazed with his grace, he will show grace to us when we remember how he rescued us, how he saved us. When we remember how that grace came through Christ Jesus, what he has forgiven us of, how he has given us unmerited favor, how he has helped us, how he has set us free, how he has poured his spirit upon us, how he has called out his own. The beloved of the Lord will be quick to show grace to others. Grace demands us to be gracious to others. Are there people in your life that you need to show grace, extra grace to even? Show them the grace of God and prove that you're a child of God indeed. Show them that grace.
They may not deserve it. You don't have to deserve it anyway. Because grace is not deserved. They will call it. So don't say they don't deserve it. I've had people say, no, I'm not going to forgive that fellow. He doesn't deserve it. Okay, he doesn't, you know. If he deserves it, it is no longer grace. What you are giving is no longer grace. If they truly deserve it. But remember, you don't deserve it either. God gave us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we say, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. When we remember our Christ, our God, I just pray that God will open understanding. You know, so when you read the scripture, you need to be very careful and just slow down. Just slow down, understand what it's saying. It's saying, even as God, in Christ, forgive you. And he said, without Christ's death on the cross, God would not have forgiven you. So it cost Christ his life for you to be forgiven. And he said, forgive others likewise. Our brothers and sisters, please, if you're struggling with forgiveness, I want to just encourage you, go to the Lord in prayer. But a true child of God shouldn't have problem forgiving others. Because God in Christ, through his blood, forgives. And that's why he warns us, if you don't forgive others as trespasses, then my Father in heaven will not forgive you. I met a sister one day and he told me he has a problem with another sister. He said because the sister placed a curse on her. I said, what kind of curse was that? The sister told me that there's somebody in my life, I think it's a family member, that it's difficult for me to forgive and I can never forgive that fellow. And the sister came to me and said, you know, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. I said, no, he's not placed a curse. That's what the Bible says, actually. So it's not a curse at all. See, that's what the scripture says. If you're struggling with that, go to God. Who wrote the word? Don't quarrel with that sister. You go to God, who gave the word. We cannot but show grace. We cannot but show mercy. We can't. We cannot but. Because we are believers, saved by grace. We have enjoyed the spirit of rest. But God rich, who is rich in us? Just forgive us. So the last part, I think we're doing well with time. So as wonderful as grace is, as amazing as the grace of God is, and I'm sure, you know, maybe some of us will pray, reflect after this sermon on the grace of God. Just look back into your life and see the evidence of grace of God in the story of your life, the journey of your life. I'm sure when you look back, you see many instances, as Paul shared with us, of the grace of God. For some of us, there have been times, probably even close to death. But the grace of God came in. And we survived. Some of us have been lost in God completely. And the grace of God just appeared out of nowhere. And we are rescued. So grace is wonderful. Grace is amazing. But grace carries wonders.
That's quite strange.
Grace carries wonders. Warning against grieving the spirit of grace. Now, the Holy Spirit is described in many ways in this scripture. And one of the ways that we Holy Spirit describe is the spirit of grace. And that itself is wonderful. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace. He releases grace from the Father to us. He ministers God's grace to us. The Spirit does that. In fact, where he says that we know not how to pray, but the Holy Spirit, through his grace, the grace of God, helps our infirmities. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace. When we have no power and strength, God's Spirit comes as a spirit of grace to us. When these men were put to the stake, you wonder, how did they survive that? And we read, some of them were rejoicing even when they were being killed. They had a joy, Lord. No sorrow on their faces at all. Why? Because the Spirit of grace came upon them. We read the story of Stephen when he was being stoned to death. And the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. And when he was full of the Holy Spirit, that means the Spirit of grace was upon him. And he turned to God when he saw Christ standing. Forgive them, please, Father. Do not lay this against them. Because he had the Spirit of grace upon him. And I also say, because of that, do not grieve the Spirit of grace. Do not do anything that will grieve the Spirit of grace. Do not live your life anyhow in a way that the Spirit of the Lord will be grieved. Don't say things in such a way that God's Spirit is grieved. Because it can be grieved. Because it's a person. It's not a thing. It's a person. Christ sent to us. Say we should not grieve him at all. In fact, if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 10, 26 to 31, I'm not going to read because of time. He said we should not insult the Spirit of grace. It can be insulted. Can you imagine such words? But I read Ephesians where it says do not grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 31, and do not. And sometimes when we read the scripture and we come across do not, I think we just need to pause. There are Bible verses that I want to encourage us. As I sometimes do when I try to encourage myself, just pause. Before we even read further, and do not. And God is saying do not. When he says do not, he's making a command. He's about to say something serious. And do not. Don't even do this. Do not. Do not. And pray before you read further. God has the Lord, Holy Spirit. Help me to do not. Help me. That's it. I may do not. See, I do not. Clear commands. Grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Don't do this and grieve the Holy Spirit. As Christians and believers, how many times do we grieve the Holy Spirit? How many times do we grieve the Spirit of the Lord? And we don't even feel anything at all? How many times? And the Spirit of God is grieved. Say, I am grieved by what is coming out from your mouth. I'm grieved by your attitude that plays a role. I am grieved. I am simply grieved. Will you stop grieving? Grace wants us not to grieve. Because it's the Spirit of grace. And there's a warning against receiving God's grace in vain. Remember, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. But it says the grace of God has not been in vain in my life.
I labor more than others.
No, yet not I, but by the grace of God. And he's saying this. I know I receive the grace of God and the Spirit. I don't want that grace to be in vain in my life. Never. I'm going to use it. I'm spent for. I'm going to glorify God, whether by life or by death. I don't care. If I say, to me to live, to die is gain. Because I don't want to receive that grace of God in vain. Because I know that grace cost Christ's life. And therefore, I'm not going to waste it. I'm not at all. My brothers and sisters, are we wasting the grace of God? The grace of God is in every one of us, on every one of us. Some may have multiple graces. But are we using the grace? That's what matters. Are we stepping out in faith? Now, this is a good idea of what you're doing. I understand that there are many other things we plan. That is great. That is stepping out and saying, God, we have poured your grace upon your church. We are going to use it. We have not received it in vain. We are going to use it. This community, we know that we are children of grace of God. And we share that grace. You know, as I was coming today in the car, it just occurred to me, you know, when we say we share the grace, what does it mean? At the end of the service, we share grace. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus. Okay, we share the grace among ourselves. Are we sharing the grace with the outside world? They are the one we should share the grace with, the grace, the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. Are we sharing that grace with them? We should have received it in faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 5, 20 and 6, 1. See, now and then, he said, we are ambassadors for Christ. What a title, what a position, what an honor to be ambassadors for Christ. When I left university, I first read international relations. Then later, I went back to university. And the reason why I read international relations is because I wanted to become an ambassador for my country. I just love the idea of being an ambassador. I was dreaming that I will be, and I just love it. So I finished university with a good grade, and I was very happy. Yes, I finished university. And I was looking for a job in the embassy. Unfortunately, you know, my country, God has mercy, support. Unless you know someone, you won't get far at all. And I traveled, I bet, for several years to become an ambassador. I wanted to be. And when I couldn't get in, I said, no, let me just change my. And I went back to university and then I read law. And I practiced law for some time. I came to this country to be a conversation. I just love the idea of representing your country. I like the honor they are bestowed. I like the idea of just, I'm the representative of my country. And Christ is telling us we are ambassadors for Christ, not for a nation, not for a government. Not for anyone, not for a king, not for a president, for Christ himself. Can you compare being ambassador to a country, ambassador for Christ? And say we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Can you see? He's pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And he's telling you, you are ambassadors. I've committed the ministry of reconciliation to you as my ambassador. Go out, reconcile the world to me. Be my ambassador. And in chapter 6 as well, he said, we then, as workers together with him. With who? With Christ. Also plead with you. Oh, and Paul is saying, God has said this, but even we as workers, together with Christ, we are pleading. And the Lord is pleading with us, brothers and sisters, Ashley and church. He's pleading with us. I'm pleading with you not to receive the grace of God in That's my plea. I'm begging you that don't. It cost Christ his life. Don't receive it in vain. Use it for my glory. Be bold of sharing it. Don't receive it in vain. Speak with us. And lastly, warning against delay. You know, sometimes you hear the word of the Lord, and it can be so wonderful. I don't know whether I'm preaching well. I don't know. I'll have Pastor David later. And you say, oh, what a word. And I said earlier, as I prayed, I said, the words sometimes that we hear, they are like dry bones. As we have in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37. Dry bones. They couldn't do anything. But then, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon the driver, the wind blew, they came alive. And the word of God just like that. The Spirit of the Lord comes. But it doesn't stop there. When it comes, that gives it life. But then, it has to be mixed with faith in us. To be profitable. And that's my encouragement this evening. Don't let us delay. Let the word be mixed with faith. Let it awaken something in us. Let it challenge us. Let it put fire in us. So that it can be profitable. See, so there's a warning against delay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, you know, we read verse 1 earlier, and it continues. For it says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do not delay at all. Make use of it. Just make use of it. That's the essence of God's word. We hear, just make use of it. The same as that. Make use of it. Do something about it. You know, as I close, grace is indeed. And I came across the writing of Martin Lloyd Jones. I'm sure many of us must have come across such a, you know, wonderful preacher. And he says this about God's grace. He says, it is grace at the beginning and grace at the end. So that when you and I come to lie upon our deathbeds, the one thing that should comfort and help and strengthen us there is the thing that helped us in the beginning. And that's the grace of God. Not what we have done, not what we have done, but the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Christian life starts with grace. It must continue with grace, and it ends with grace. Grace, wondrous grace, by the grace of God, and it echoes what Paul says. Say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yes, not I. And it's quoting Paul. But the grace of God, which was with me. Amen. Which was with me. And that should be our confession. That should be our attitude. That should be our motto. That's what we live by daily. Reminding ourselves, Lord, it's your grace that is sustaining me. It's your grace that is helping me. It's your grace that I need. I can't do anything on my own. I am weak without you. But I need your grace. But I just need it. Young or old, pray for the grace of God. Weak or strong, pray for the grace of God. Joyful or sorrowful, pray for the grace of God. In difficult times, easy times, pray for the grace of God. Just pray for that grace. The Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace. And it will abundantly supply. Because God is the God of all grace. He will supply. In abundance, He will not withhold. Because it's such a grace of God. I don't know what you need the grace of God for. But I'm sure every one of us, whatever is happening in our lives, we need the grace of God. You know, where we come from, in Africa, Nigeria, they used to say something like this, that everything needs prayer. They say everything. this bread. And the way they put it is this. He said, the things that are bad, that are not so good, they need prayer so that they can be good. And he said, the things that are good, they need prayer so that they can remain good. And that makes some sense, right? So every one of us, we need grace. Maybe you're doing well. There are things, through the grace of God, you are excelling in. You can ask God, Lord, let your grace continue. Maybe there are things that you're struggling with. Areas that you're struggling with. You can equally ask, by your grace, Lord, let your grace come upon this area of my life. Just go give us a minute of 30 seconds. In individual prayer. Just pray that prayer quietly to the Lord.